Scripture reading is John chapter 6, verses 53 through 55. John chapter 6, verses 53 through 55. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and members of 9,000 branch churches around the world, and local sanctuary members, and those who are attending this service through satellites and the internet, GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers, toward the end of the Second World War, the Allies pushed their way into a German concentration camp holding Jews. They looked for survivors, but all the people there were dead in the gas chambers. One of the soldiers who were checking the camp found some writing on the wall in a corner, and it became solemn. The writing said, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. We cannot record God's love even if the oceans were ink and the skies were parchment." We do not know who wrote it. Probably it was one of the inmates who were suffering from forced labor and hunger. While his friends were dying and he was spending hopeless and brutal days, he didn't write any complaints or resentment, but only thanks for God's love. Can you make such a confession of love as well? Can you be certain of God's love at any moment and in any case? If you truly understand the great love of God, you are more than able to do that. I hope that you will realize His love and engrave it on your heart once again through this message. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be able to sing with your whole heart that you cannot recall all the love of God, even if you have oceans of ink and the parchment or the skies. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to engrave God's love on your heart, first, you always have to remember the love of God for giving us His one and only Son. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Have you meditated on the meaning of this verse deeply? God the Creator, the most glorious God, loved this world so much. He had mercy on those souls who were falling into sins and lawlessness. And finally, He gave up His one and only Son. The parents who have raised children might have felt that kind of pain to some extent. There is a Korean saying that goes, "Even if you were to put your child in your eye, it wouldn't hurt." Then if your child is that precious, how could you allow such a child to be put to death? Imagine somebody says he will give you wealth and honor or anything you wish if you crucify your son. Then would you do that? If you love your son, you would never be able to do that. I told you to put your fingers into boiling hot water. And they even, you know, allow their young children put their hands into the boiling water. Well, you did a good job. After they did, what do they know now? They imagine how painful it is in hell. They know. They screamed before your eyes, the young children. Of course, you spread the one sweet water, right? Now, what did you tell them? Hell is 100 times or 1,000 times hotter than this. Then the child will have that hotness deep into their hearts. Then, Papa, I will never do anything to go to hell. I will never do that. Of course, they will not do it. This is the love of parents. Since you love your child, to help your child understand the miserable life in hell, you force them to put their fingers into hot boiling water, right? And then you sprayed them once with water after that and prayed. And then they became fine. You would say, I cannot give my own son, even if I have to die. Now, if you are supposed to give of your son on behalf of a convict sentenced to death who committed robberies and murder, what would you say? Dear brothers and sisters, what would you say? Most of you would probably say, it's nonsense. But God did what seems to be this level of nonsense. He gave His only begotten Son for sinners who were worshipping idols, murdering, stealing, and standing against God. He gave His Son to be brutally executed in the place of us, who were stained with such sins as hatred, anger, adultery, envy, judging, condemnation, and greed. At the moment of crucifixion, the pain that God the Father had was so great that even the Son lost its strength. Father God explained about this. I think I told you before. When our Lord was crucified on the cross, during the day, our Father God looked down upon the earth. He could see. Father God said, Father God saw everything we did when I started the church. Angelica? Our Lord looked down upon her. And then our Lord, explained, your mother and father is there, and your corpse is there. Your body is there. But when His one and only Son was crucified by the sinners, can you imagine His heart? So He turned His face away, not to see it, because He was so sorry. And he cried, Our God, and the Holy Spirit consoled His heart with His praise. There were earthquakes and the rocks were split. Was it yesterday? It looked like there was an earthquake when our Lord was crucified and when He died. He gave His Son, bearing with such pain, to give life to us who are sinners. Because of this love, we can now call God, the Creator, our Father. The whole trees were shaking, the ground was shaking. Now, what will happen to this church? Even a small thing, we try to use the best knowledge and technology. They got a great idea. And this church is developing rapidly. And that's why the broadcasting stations in Europe, and they said, you know, the event which is taking place in this church cannot be compared with any events which are held nationwide. Well, thank you. All the Performing Arts Committee, thank you for your hard work. I gave you, you know, I will treat you for your hard work, okay? Because of this love, we can now call God the Creator our Father. We must never forget this love. I hope that you will engrave it in your heart again and give Him praises of thanks forever. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, second, we have to remember the love of the Lord who sacrificed His life for us. Now, why are you here? Without the love of the Lord, you may stay home, or you may play golf in a field, or you may go to movies. But since you know the love of the Lord and God, since you have faith for heaven, you are here on this beautiful Sunday. Since we know the love of the Lord and of God, you know the love of the shepherd, and we know the love of everybody. Since everybody should be united in love like this, and we should be bound with the truth, we should become brothers in faith, and we should not accuse each other. When our brothers commit sin, when our brothers have transgression, we have to cover them. That's what we've been doing in this church. We have to remember the love of the Lord who sacrificed His life for us. Even though God wanted to save the world, we couldn't have been saved unless the Lord obeyed God. You watched the biblical play of the crucifixion in the Friday all-night service. Jesus took such ruthless pain that cannot be described with words. The glorious Son of God, the Creator, forsook all the heavenly glory and came down to this earth in a lowly human body. This in itself is such a great sacrifice. Now, when you go back home, try to watch Cantata once again. Then you will have different impression than when you saw it on this altar. Because you can watch only a certain spot. You know, Mary Magdalene, you know, shed tears. But all our members were, you know, all the members have their eyes fixed only on our Lord. They didn't look at, you know, Mary Magdalene, Apostle Peter. You know, you didn't know what's happening out there. So I couldn't, you know, I couldn't tell you, you know, oh, look at that man too. I couldn't say it. Elders, you didn't know what happened back there, right? You just watched the screen and then the altar and the stage, right? But if you watch the Easter Cantata on TV again, then it will give you a more impression. It will touch you more. And His creatures spat on Him, mocked Him, scourged Him, and finally stripped Him naked and crucified Him. If the Lord didn't love the souls who were stained with sins, He could have destroyed them any time. He could have brought fire down from heaven or destroyed them with the heavenly army. But Jesus didn't do that. He became the atoning sacrifice, taking all the sins of the world, because He knew the heart of God who loved the souls. He willingly took all the sufferings. Jesus made us rich by living a poor life for Himself. How could a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only begotten Son, could be born in a manger in order to redeem us from poverty? If you read the Ecclesiastes, the Bible calls us human beings less than insects. Now, 2,000 years later, we even worse than that. We pay the evilness for goodness. Last week, I read many articles on the newspaper. Parents ate the flesh of their children. A wife killed her own husband. I saw many Gnostic articles like this. No, students beat, you know, a man in 30s. The world is going like this. Even though sin is rampant in the world, our members should not do that. Because you have seen the signs and wonders and power of God, how can you commit sin and do evil? You have to rather cast off sin from your heart. For your benefit, you mock people, you accuse others. This church has taught you forgiveness and endurance and perseverance. Why do you have to accuse others? Why do you have to put blame on others? We were set free from diseases through His scourging. I was wrongfully accused many times. But for the peace in this church, I tried a lot to save and protect our members. Even though I was hit on my right cheek, I did. We can receive a heavenly crown because Jesus wore the crown of thorns. He was nailed through His hands and feet. He shed His blood, and we received forgiveness. I hope you will always remember this love of the Lord. I urge you to put in your heart His face covered with blood and His eyes filled with love, seeing the souls from the cross. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, third, we have to remember the love of the Father who has prepared a place for us in heaven. We are to be so thankful that He saved us from hell. And furthermore, God is preparing a glorious dwelling place in heaven for us. When we believe in the love of God and the Lord and walk in the truth, our heavenly dwelling place will be built according to our deeds. Now, what is it to believe in this love and to walk in the truth? It is to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, as in today's message. Today's scripture, John 6, verse 54 says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Unless we eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, we do not have life. We do not have hope for resurrection. Spiritually, to eat the flesh of the Son of Man is to take in the Word of God as spiritual bread. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." John 1 verse 14 says that God, who is the Word, came down to this earth, and He is Jesus. So Word is God, and God is Word, and this Word came to this earth, and He is Jesus. So, to eat the flesh of the Son of Man, in other words, is to take in the Word of God. To take in the Word of God is not just to put the words in the Bible as knowledge. It is rather to change your heart with that Word. If you have hatred, get it out and fill it with love. If you have evil, pull it out and fill it with goodness. If you have hatred, and fill it with gentleness. This is the life of a Christian. When you do this, you are saved and go to heaven. Without casting off evil in your heart, and you bring harm to your brothers in faith, and send your brothers to jail, such evil cannot make you go to heaven. It is to cast off evil from our heart and replace it with goodness and love. To eat the flesh of the Son of Man this way, we have to drink His blood at the same time. So, not just the flesh, you have to drink His blood. In 1983 or 82, I went to a revival meeting. I said, I think it was the second day of the revival meeting, I said, you have to, you know, eat and drink the flesh and the blood of the Son of Man to be saved. And someone asked me a question. Speaker, who is the Son of Man? I said, it's Jesus. And he said, how can I eat and drink His flesh and blood? And how can I eat and drink His blood and flesh? So he asked me such a question. He was courageous. Of course, he didn't ask me the question with bad intention. He asked because he was curious. Because I said, you know, you have to eat and drink the flesh and the blood of the Son of Man. It means when we learn the word of God, it has to be accompanied by the deeds to obey the word. Figuratively speaking, when people eat food, they have to consume liquid as well. If they just keep on taking dry food without any liquid, they cannot digest the food, even if it is very nutritious. Our body can absorb the nutrients and give out the body waste only when liquid is supplied. You have to take those food with liquid, okay? In the same way, once we learn the Word of God as the truth, we have to try to practice what we learn. So you should not just listen to the word and slip it through the other ear, okay? You cannot just put it in your knowledge. You have to make a knowledge and put it in your heart, okay? You listen to it, put it in your knowledge, in your brain, and put it in your heart. Engrave it in your heart. And you have to digest it. And you have to get rid of the waste. And that word which has been digested should become your flesh, blood, and bone. We have to obey the commands that tell us to do, not do, keep, or cast away certain things. Only then, the word of God that we learned will really become our life and strengthen us. The untruths that were in our heart will go away, and the truth will replace them. Hatred will go out, and it will be filled with love. Arrogance will go away, and it will be filled with humbleness. And the anger goes away, and meekness replaces it. The first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 7 says, we can understand, in the first John, chapter 1, verse 7, we can understand we have life in us, not just when we eat the flesh, but when we also drink the blood of the Son of Man. It says, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Our Lord is in the light, so when we live in the light, it means when we walk in the truth, once we come out of the darkness and live in the light, depart from the evil, and live with goodness and the truth, we have fellowship with one another. So we and our Lord will have fellowship. Do you have fellowship with God? So we have the fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, then we can become righteous. When we believe in heart, we become righteous, and when we confess with tongue, with lips, we can reach salvation. Here, to walk in the light means to obey and practice the word of God. Jesus forgave us of our sins by shedding His precious blood. But in order for us to be forgiven through His blood, we have to walk in the light. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some people face disasters because it is their fault, but they resent God for it happening. They say, if God is love, why does He let such a thing happen? When they do not receive the answer they want, or if they are persecuted for their faith, they complain, saying, God does not love me. Some people say, why did God create hell and drag the people He created to hell? Do you think it makes sense? No man? It doesn't make sense? What? It doesn't make sense? Our Father God created hell. It is to send His creature, human beings, to hell? No, it's not. Now, why is it there? Why is hell there? To put the enemy devil and Satan put in there. That's why He created hell. Lucifer and one-third of angels who allied with Lucifer to stand against God. It's not just the millions. The number is huge. To confine them, Father God created hell. And Father God gave a free will to human beings. If you listen to the word of God, the Creator, then you can go to heaven. Or if you follow the lust of the world and betray God and obey the enemy devil and Satan and become the slave of the enemy devil and Satan, then you can go to hell. Now, choose between them. Choose either one of them. Now, the man, what should they choose? We have to choose heaven, right? So Father God tells you to choose heaven. Now heaven is such a glorious position. It is so filled with happiness. There is no sin. It is so good. Wonderful. But enemy devil and Satan is so evil like this. They make you, you know, become envious and hot-tempered and, you know, have adulterous mind and wicked and crafty. This is what enemy devil and Satan does. Now, if you obey the enemy devil and Satan, then you can become the slave of the enemy devil and Satan. Then it is the way to hell. But Father God, who is goodness itself and love itself and gentleness itself and meekness itself, who is perfect and holy, who is so good, sanctified, if you follow the word of God the Father who is sanctified, then you will go to heaven. Father God gave you free will like this. Now, 100% should be able to choose heaven. Now, did our Father God do something wrong? Our Father God never told you go to hell. Father God told you many times never to go to hell. It's your fault who chose to go to hell. Even though Father God created such beautiful heaven, and it is so full of goodness and happiness and love, and you will live forever and ever there in heaven. And Father God will try to lead you to heaven. And He even sacrificed His only one and only Son. And He even sent the Holy Spirit to lead it to heaven by the help of the Holy Spirit. He is doing even such works. He works and works and works and again. But you yourself obey the enemy, devil, and Satan, and go. You are walking toward heaven, walking toward the hell. Our Father God never told you to go to hell. He only tells you to come to heaven. Is it true or not? Now, how can you say how Father God created hell and then lead the people to hell? Well, raise your hand if you agree with that idea. Is there any? Is there any? Nobody, right? It's nonsense, isn't it? Now, our Father God is good God, isn't He? Students, answer me. He's a good God. Our Father God created hell and led you to hell? No, right? Father God is leading you only to heaven, right? So that's why I'm telling you all the time, you should never go to hell. That's why I'm dragging you to heaven. By all means. Amen? Our Father God only gives the good things. Now, it is you who chose hell. And you tried to accuse even those people who have goodness and tried to call them bad names. Do you think it makes sense? But I hope none of you here will speak in such foolish words. Mommy members should never do that. GCN TV viewers and Mommy TV viewers and those who attend this service through internet and the members of foreign branch churches, you should never do it. God sacrificed His only begotten Son to make us His children. With His children, whom He bought with the price of the blood of His Son, walk in the truth, then anything they ask of Him in the name of the Lord, He answers. Young people and students, please think of it. A young man came to me. He is a member of Canaan Mission. And he said, I received this much blessing. He received much blessing in many ways. So he came to me. He said, now I wanted to marry. Now what should I do? Now young people, how do you get married? You don't know how to get married? You know, right? But the member of the Canaan Mission, the point is, he wants to be married, recognized by others. Now, marriage is to find the girl that you love. And if you decide that she is the right person that you can marry to, and you are confident that you can love her forever, for life. And the girl should also have the same decision. She should agree with your idea that she also loves you, should all love you, and have good relationship. Then you two marry together. Now set a date and get married. That's it, isn't it? Then you two will become husband and wife. Then, you know, you can sleep together no matter how many times a day. But you cannot have relationship with an excuse of marriage. This is not something a man who will go to heaven can do. You should never do that. Once you have relationship with one woman, then once you decide to marry together, then you have to marry and love that person and wait until the Lord comes. That kind of relationship is the perfect relationship. And check each other's heart. Whether both of you love each other and marry. But young men promise marriage and try to have another relationship with another woman. This is not something a man who will go to heaven can do. Now, a woman, okay, let's have a relationship with this man to see whether I can marry him. When he is not, then you can have another relationship with another man and check whether he is a man you can marry to. No, this is not something you can do. If you want to go to heaven, you should never do this. How can you do such a thing a prostitute can do? In the Old Testament and New Testament, our Lord and our Father God warns us, if you do this, you will go to hell. It is written many times in the Bible. So, I told the young man, if you have good relationship like this, and clean and good relationship, before the sight of God, then you can marry together. What is it so difficult? Nothing is difficult. It's so easy. So easy. As their spirit and soul prosper, God makes all things go well with them and makes them healthy. The Lord sacrificed His life understanding the love of the Father, and He is building a dwelling place in heaven for us. Every day, He is looking forward to the day when He will share eternal love with His true children in heaven. I am so missing this day. Imagining it makes me happy. You know, when the Lord comes, I will be lifted up in the air and have the 7-year wedding banquet, and everything will be cleared up and go to and enter heaven in New Jerusalem all together with the Lord. And our Lord will clean up all this earth and will live in this earth for millennium years, and we go to heaven again. I mean, and then we can go to any place like Russia, Canada. I mean, the places that you've been missing, we can go there. The Geumgang Mountain in this country. We are so busy because we are too busy to go there. I mean, but in Millennium Kingdom, we will visit hand in hand. The day will come, sooner or later. Then, you know, there will be the white throne of judgment, and we will receive the judgment of reward. Then Father God will seal us. Then I will give you this mansion. Then we go to New Jerusalem. Even though we miss people, we don't see because we are busy. We would like to have, you know, hands in hand, but we cannot. Even if we want to take a picture, but we cannot because some people envy. You want to take a picture with me, with good intention, because you love your shepherd. You want to take a picture of me. But you wait. But once we go to heaven, we don't need to worry about, you know, taking a picture. Whenever we miss, we can see each other. We can have a date. We can go out. We can take a walk together. We can walk around in the beautiful garden. We can dance. We can do everything we want to do. When we go to heaven, we can do that. Now, so I would like to learn how to dance. You know, I would like to dance beautifully before Father God. King David is, you know, King David danced naked before the citizens. Now, there were people who criticized him. How could a king naked before the people? Now, who is that kind of man? She is a man of flesh. She is evil man. She is evil person. Who is she? The first wife of King David, the daughter of King Saul, she was evil, just as her father was evil. You know, his father was, you know, pursuing David to kill David, but she married to another man. Now, once King David became a king, King David took wife back. When your father was pursuing me to kill me, you ran away. And King David put her in a room. And he never made love to her. Why? Because she betrayed King David. Then she should have repented, but she didn't. When, King David, danced naked before God because he was so happy to be with God, then she criticized King David. So David didn't forgive her that time. And King David confined her. And she criticized him. Then King David didn't forgive her. And he never made love to her. It was the story of King David's first wife. That's why she couldn't have a baby. She was so evil. When King David came back, then she had to repent. Now, I'm sorry to betray you, but I will never do that again. I will become a good wife. She had to repent again and again and again like this. How could she criticize his own husband and King David? Why is it so wrong to dance naked before God? So that's why King David said, I cannot endure you anymore. You didn't even repent. I am going to say bye-bye. No more love. So that's why she couldn't have a baby. You should be able to repent after you commit sin. Every day he is looking forward to the day when he will share eternal love with his true children in heaven. The 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. I told you many times. Everyone, you want to go to heaven and you have this hope fixed on our Lord, then you should purify yourself just as our Lord is pure. Well, you cannot befriend the world. You have to purify yourself. You should not commit sin. Get rid of evil. Be sanctified and purify yourself. How? You should have fixed your hope on our Lord and purify yourself. This is the commandment of our Lord. Those who truly realize the love of the Father do not look at the world. Jesus was crucified because of our sins. And how can we commit sins again? Elders, ain't it right? How can you commit sin? Right? Choir, right? You cannot commit sin, right? Amen? Students, second floor, right? Good. Look at them. They look so lovely. See? Our students obey so well. They're so lovely. Look at those students. They will all go to New Jerusalem. How lovely they are. If we believe in the glory of heaven, how can we crave the worldly things and have lingering attachment to the flesh? Remembering this great love, I hope you will love God back with all your heart, mind, soul, and life. May you dwell in the most glorious New Jerusalem in heaven and share that love with God the Father forever and ever. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Let's think over the message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become faith and life in us. And we will have Holy Communion. Let us attend this Holy Communion with all our heart, mind, and soul, and life. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I will pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on the sick part of your body. Father God, please work transcending space and time. Pastor Sungil Ryu of Japan is going to run handkerchief prayer meeting in Idamami Church on April 27th. Pastor Ito Masaki will also run handkerchief prayer meeting on the same day. Bless Jung Young Tae will have evangelization day in Tabata Mamin Church of Japan, of Tokyo in Japan, on 29th of April. Bless Joseph Han of India to lead a handkerchief prayer meeting along with, delivering message on Arul Bakuchisin TV on April 28th. Please make everything go prosperously. Bless missionary Grace Lee of Nepal to lead the Message of the Cross seminar and handkerchief prayer meeting well from 25th to 27th of this month. Father, all the cold, flu, fever go away. All be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father God, please let them become healthy. Protect them for this week. Let them be in good health, both in spirit and in body. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.